Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
May 30, 2022, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar, and this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say this. So it is a Moonday or Monday according to the Pope's work schedule. There's a phrase that I don't often utter along with the rest of the beginning of the show. You know why? Because I got it off of somebody who explained it to me quite a while ago and was absolutely correct when he did. Of course, the first day of the week would be Sunday, according to your calendar, right? Sunday. Well, anyway, Sunday, Moonday, Tuesday, Woden's Day, Thor's Day, Friar's Day, Saturn Day, and that completes the cycle, doesn't it? Or does it? Where did we start talking about telling time and the fact that nobody on the planet actually does it? We did that on, well, first, it was introduced to me on a show where I interviewed a guy that I just knew as the Greek. Now, I'd heard about him, but didn't really talk to him before. Did this some years ago, and I think it was on American Freedom Radio. Well, anyway, thanks to Danny Romero, we ended up doing a little show called O'Shelly and the Greek. And, what the hell, right? You got to say the things that people aren't saying sometimes. Because if you have knowledge and you don't speak it, you know, there is something about that. But we might wind up discussing all that as we attempt to recap or add commentary to the O'Shelly and the Greek shows, which were in two sections, two major sections anyway. And we have revisited those topics over the years and done separate interviews or discussions and whatnot. And the Greek has been invited into many places. At least many by my count anyway, many places where they thought, oh, the O'Shelly and the Greek show was great. They invite the Greek on. They never invite me because I'm just the guy framing it. But anyway, thanks, Freeman, who I invited onto my show and never invited me onto his. And, you know, stuff like that. But all petty concerns. The world is strange. And it's even stranger when you actually pay attention to what's happening and what's about to happen. The Greek is with me. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing. Doing what the Greek does. So we're here for another one. Because every time we do something, it's another one, right?
It absolutely is. It's certainly another one. Yeah. So, right. Now
yeah,
I forgot to ask you. You know, I forgot to ask you before we went to air. We could take phone calls, but I didn't really promote this or anything, so probably nobody's prepared to take the calls, and they'll get the podcast later. Right. You know, so I guess
what could they possibly say anyway? And any question they have has already been answered.
Hmm.
Think about it.
That's true. When we're talking about recapping the stuff we already covered, of course, you and I discussed some things in private and semi-private before. You know, the public, the private conversation and public concept. The water episode, which is still somewhere on O'Shelly.com, you know, it's not there right out in public because it wasn't meant to be shared far and wide. But
we should be. We've got more stuff in the bag as they speak. We got something. I say we, meaning because you never really come up with anything on your own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Cosmic forces, right?
Oh, look at this. I have a listener in the chat room who's very familiar with you who is actually asking what day it is.
That's what I was about to do. I think, I don't know if you stepped on me or I stepped on you. We cross hairs there a little bit. And sure. I was going to say it's very simply the 16th day of the third month. You got to really think about it this way, though. The day starts at noon. You know how they you look up moon phases on Wikipedia and it's 29.3 or 28.6 days?
Mm-hmm.
That's because they're trying to wiggle it into a midnight schedule. But if you do it at noon, if it starts at noon, meaning high noon, right, the zenith, because, you know, there's actually a noon in the middle of the night also, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
That's more advanced. If we've only talked about stuff on second grade level, that would be third, fourth grade. But it's the as of noontime today, it kicked over to the 16th day, and your day of rest. You know how every culture has a seventh day of rest. You know, culture had it except for the Mayans, because they were working on another solar system. They only had a 20-day month, right? But every culture, you know, even the, you know, I mean, when I say pagan, you know, there's about 3,500 different tribes or groups of it.
Right.
They know about the seventh day. So that just happened. So your seventh day of rest is on the eighth day of the month, mm-hmm. the 15th, 22nd, and 29th, and then your last day is the 30th. And when you figure out that the day starts at high noon, just like anybody grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, remember the old banking convention before it was electronic? What happens? Well, how did they date the checks they brought in after 12 o'clock? They dated them the next day. Remember that?
That's right.
Old enough to remember that.
No, they did that. And actually, they did that all the way up into the 90s, even with the different communications now starting to really be prolific as far as computers go. It still was that way. Yeah, you bring it in. Why is this? I actually asked that question, I think, when I was 16 or so. And I cashed a check, and they stated that it was cashed on the next day. I said, is that a mistake?
Because it's the old system. It's mm-hmm. The slave, you know, instead of calling it the United Nations, there's two United Nations, the one that started in the Presidio to fight Japan, and then it was reorganized in 1947, and it was the Vatican Consolidated Slave Holdings. Mm-hmm. But that didn't go good, so they bought the United Nations. So where are we at?
By the way, one of my regular listeners actually said he's very happy that he is still tracking with the correct date as he knows it. So
regular. I know who it is. He's made me aware of that as well.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not Joe, just in case you think it's
oh
him.
It's not
no.
Okay, well, I hope there's well, you know, here's the thing. If half the world helped one person, everybody's mm-hmm. taken care of.
True enough.
Right? So if one third of the world took care of two people, everybody's taken. If one person took care of 100 people, everybody's taken care of. You know, mm-hmm. so you know, out of in meaning 1%. See, so if you do something in life that makes someone else's life better, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite an accomplishment. You know, there's a lot of sayings about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I've gotten about 1,200 emails in the past 7 years that are specific, not 1,200 emails total, but 1,200, 1,000 to 1,200, including some that are 24 pages long, not paragraphs, but pages.
Right.
They have to be PDF'd. Anyway, that they tell me generally, because of what you've said, not because of me, you've got to be very careful, because you tell me your life is better because of me, I'm going to slap you down or drop you like a hot potato. It's not me. It's right. What I'm saying. It's a big difference. You know, when you get a $50,000, let's say, check in the mail, do you go and hug and kiss the postman?
Well,
he has nothing to do with it.
He just brought it to you.
Yeah, you don't even know. You don't even want to look at his ugly face. So, anytime. So, I'm just saying. So, or her.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a lady
post. I know how to keep time. I know who the gods are, which is a bad word. I think we've gone over, you know, as we go down, we're going to pick these titles down. You know, there are no gods. I hope you guys know that.
Mm.
It's a very poor use. We'll get into that briefly, hash that up. But they eat better. They think better. They sleep better. Their finances are better, right? Actually, if finances are better, there may be less in fewer zeros, but the quality is better, right?
Fair enough.
So on and on and on. So if everybody else, if I can get a couple more people to do that on what they do well, not say what I'm saying, but say what they say in their expertise field and share it.
Right.
So, okay. Let's go.
Let's begin. Let's take the old episodes as a framework, right? And
right,
I know
exactly.
That the first organized episode, because we had a couple of discussions before that, and we went around different things and made some jokes and had a good time. And by the way, I never object to that. We can sit here and tell jokes, Greek. I mean, this is a positive thing to do too. But since we're on track here to do something, I have the idea that we should begin with. Everything
yep.
is external input now.
Right. I found the playlist. It won't show up on a search, but it'll show up on a regular search on a browser.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the first episode's on the bottom of the playlist.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody could follow, because there are a couple of people that I've told that do have YouTube.
Right.
channels to go listen to this series, right? And it's old because it doesn't matter if you listen to this. If we had 100 years, 100 years from now, it would still be relevant. And it would be relevant 100 years ago. External input. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got into how we're listen to the episode. You know how when you have a dog raised by gorillas, it still acts like a dog, but a human raised by gorillas will act like a gorilla. Why? Because most of the animals and creatures on this planet come preloaded software, don't they?
Mm.
Right? We don't. We actually mimic. We need a school. Training from the beginning. I mean, think about potty training, right? Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine when would you figure out, how to use that apparatus or the proper squatting position, right? Well, you'd have to be able to walk first, right?
Right. And we talked about how that's not just psychological, but it's physical. I mean, for instance, a horse drops out of mama horse. That thing will stand up pretty quick and be able to walk around. I mean, it may not run like a racehorse right away, but, that's an added feature, right?
Typically, those herd animals within a week, they're capable of the herd. They're mm-hmm. capable in the herd within a week.
Right. Their level of being adept may be a bit limited at first, but it's not long after that they are equal and growing into their place quickly. People,
right.
Not so much.
Never so much.
Mm. Right.
The thing I would add to that is very... This work always continues. It'll be till my last breath, inquiring about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stems over into the container, but there's a lot of talk. There's this echo chamber. In Italian, they call them papagallo, right? It's mm-hmm. like a parrot. You just want a poly, want a cracker, right? Everybody's repeating everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the political stuff because if you got, and I understand the current events stuff. But if you spend more than 5 minutes on it, you're a papagallo. I know you do that too. I'm not saying this against you, because
right.
we have a relationship. But it's an honest and objective criticism. There's so much stuff that can be discussed, and if you start from the beginning, you'll be discussing current events from 3,500 years ago, mm-hmm. and you'll never catch up. So I could see why people want to discuss it. The thing that I don't like about it is they're just piggybacking. They're riding the wake of the mainstream, because most of these people on this planet, which we'll get into later when we talk about the Constitution, it's important too, it's a herd mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond that. It's how they were raised, external input, right? But the thing that I want to talk about really that bridges over to the physiology of it, I've been looking at this DNA, and that's when I said, before I said DNA and genetics, it's really genetics. You hear a lot of talk about that, how they want to mess with it, and the alternative talks about this and that, and star seeds and this and that, but no one really takes the time to research all the grunt work that's been done on it, mm-hmm. In other words, lab reports, scientific reports that are real, not something that someone is reading about what someone else wrote about something else, but actually, the grunt work, that was done, the good research, right?
Right. Although you could say that grunt work is often built on earlier grunt work. I mean, the course of a lifetime.
You have to be careful. No, well, I'm talking about isolated experiments where all the controls are within the document.
Oh, certainly, but they're informed by previous work, okay? There is a continuum here where in the, say someone is alive 80 years, in those 80 years, they only go so far. So, quite frankly, they have to have a beginning.
I'm strictly talking about when they teach science, the way they used to teach it 50 years ago, you had the theory, hypothesis, experiment, conclusion,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you approach the problem, you chew gum, and then you figure out the answer just by chewing gum, right? No, just joking. That's what they're doing now.
Really? What I mean to say is that what happens, though, is that they must be informed as to there is a problem to begin with for them to begin the exploration, mm-hmm. right? You don't have a hypothesis without a bit of speculation, one, yes, and also some level of information. I mean, even any theory must be based on something. So you have a basis that is not often picked off by the person who is now going to take it further. I'm saying there is a continuum of information which is built, or can be, I should say, and has been disrupted, manipulated, and hidden. But the idea is that, at first maybe there was a concept that things that were invisible could be You know, they're not observable by the human eye necessarily. Maybe they don't exist at all. And that had to graduate into, no, there are things that cannot be seen by the human eye, which are present.
Well,
right?
Yeah, 99.999999. You want to add 1,000 999s that is invisible to us based on the instrument of the eye, the senses. We have to use tools. You know, and they've always been around. You know, when they dig up, you know, when they find high-tech devices and the U.S., the Smithsonian comes in, they put it in a shipping container, fill it with concrete, and take it out to the Marianas Trench and drop it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't match history. So everything you see around and more advances around a long time ago. But what I want to say about the genetics and the hereditary is very interesting. This was very difficult to find. But within the DNA itself, there's a whole other world of it. Like an easy way to start off, and it does have memory. You do carry memory, but it's not tangible. It's what I don't like to use Freudian terms, but it's more in the subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. You're not conscious of it, but it could be ferreted out if you push yourself. And there's a very deep layer. And let me just cut to the thing, and we'll bring it up again with the container. You know how when you cut a tree, it has tree rings, right? And it shows the summer grain and the winter grain, right?
Right.
Your mitochondria has that too, and it emerges differently in everyone when you're born, and they don't know where the hell this comes from because the actual interior of the mitochondria is very, very old. The actual composition, the chemistry, and the organic chemistry is aged, so a new baby comes into the world. But their mitochondria could be 3, 4, 5, 20,000 years old within the cell itself. And they're like, how the hell does this carry over? Well, it does. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, but they can't, well, you can't talk about this publicly. We'll get into some other stuff, how simple this is. There's a bit of an influence that you carry over. So as you, everything, yes, learning how to poop properly, because everybody poops, right? Mm-hmm. And all that, all the way to how you speak and how you act is external. But there is a very, very base, you might call it psychological, spiritual recordation of everyone that came before you within that genetic line. And what might be in there is previous traumas, previous successes, right? Previous tendencies, meaning what your spirit, you know, mind is what you have proclivities for. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the way, what language you speak or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an influence, a very subtle influence, which I don't think it's as subtle as people, I might put it. Just because it's small doesn't mean it's insignificant, you know. Well, most ladies will think so. But anyway, yeah. So that's the external input. I'd like to leave that one on. There's only one thing, one comment. I never leave comments. I mean, animals are not homosexual. They might have those kinds of behaviors and things like that, but there is no homosexuality in animals. And we've explained what homosexuality is. It's a mind control thing, right? It's actually a ritual. We'll talk about that as we go on. You know, like in a perfect society, there is no military, meaning that everyone is in the military. If the country needs to be defended, everyone is boots on the ground, and everyone has at least 5 hours of training on some kind of weapon they could use to defend themselves. So you don't need a military if everybody's in the military, right?
Right.
So you see, when you get to the point that the humans are now, which we'll discuss external input here, I'll throw this in also. When you read the ancient texts, and we'll talk about this when we bring up the gods. You know how I talk about how simplistic life should be, food, clothing, shelter, which we did one on that and all that. Right. And maybe I'll save it for that because this is very, very important. And it's things, you know, how I've kind of hold back because, you know, new information should be given as such. And then if it's appreciated, you continue. And then if it's not, you just let it be, you know.
Right.
And we'll get more into the what shouldn't let be on this one. So we run out of time quick. What was the next one? What was the next one we did? It was the container. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Well, the container, these two things are logically, it makes sense to go from one to the other. Again, about the container, you have to know what the container is, even to begin to tackle something like DNA, because, well, as you said, trauma, well, that's definitely external input, right? But also external input has to do with the other things that are taken into the body and utilized to keep building the body, right?
Well, so, trauma could be getting a big dose of arsenic, and it feels like your stomach is like a cement block appeared in your stomach suddenly, right?
Well, sure.
That could be part of it too. But the naturally, container, I mean, before we continue, tell.
Yeah. Well, but naturally, there's another part of it.
We're talking about the human body and all biology.
Yeah, of course. But and naturally, one must assume even external input. Okay. Somebody might say, well, what about the psychological end of it? Well, the psychological end of it creates a physiological response. Spiritual, true. But, you know, that is...
Psychology means spirit, yeah.
Yeah, and what you breathe and what you are breathing in, that's why I often mix those terms, because spirit is breath, okay.
That's soul.
Well, either way...
That, okay. Well, that's the whole thing too. That's the thing. If you miss, you ever see the movies where which wire do I cut to disarm the bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you tell them to cut the red wire when you should cut the black wire when you want the bomb to go off? Right. So they reverse definition, like the word nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible word to wish upon someone, especially in the beginning of the day.
Well, this is why we're constantly looking at the etymology of these things.
Yeah. So the etymology, like psyche. In Greek, psyche is the spirit, and in English, it has to do with psychosis, psychology, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with the mind. So the mind is the spirit. The soul is the pneuma. In English, it's spelled with a PNU prefix. So when you have a pneumatic tire, pneumonia, mm-hmm. right, it has to do with air movement. So the living, you know, everything's part of biology, even rocks, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have a fossil that's a rock, right? So if you have something live becomes a rock can, you know, and who's to say a rock doesn't have a thought every 1,000 years, which is more than most people I met, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we don't consider these things that don't breathe air and have a metabolism to be alive. They do. I actually suggest that everything has a inhalation, exhalation. You could suffocate a rock as an experiment you can do.
Okay.
It, meaning when it suffocates, it loses its properties. Its color changes, its strength changes, right? That again, think of the, without even getting in it, see, it's very, how would you say, if you say there's no such thing as a virus, right? Because a virus as such is part of toxicology, which is part of liver function.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to create a poison to toxify someone, you have to know how the liver works. Like, for example, if you want to suffocate someone, you got to know how the big toe works. No, I'm just joking. If you want to suffocate someone, you got to know how the lungs work, right?
Okay. Well, look, this is why I'm trying to get you to settle down a little bit. Okay. Because you're kind of dancing along a little bit quickly here, and I want to go step by step so that it can be easily understood. You and I have talked about being easily understood as well. Here's the thing. The external input, right? This is relatable to all the things that come next because, as I was saying, when you're talking about even DNA and what goes into it and trauma, what I was trying to get at is that the body will create a chemical which will affect things. This nowadays they refer to as epigenetic. It is above the genetic response. But what it does is it creates a response, best I can understand, that literally does alter the structure of the thing. It
right,
adds
but
to
the,
it.
The, hold on. The body doesn't... You stopped a little too quick there. You said the body creates a chemical that... No. The reason the body creates the chemical is to be a carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, diamonds are carbon, right? Hey, I got a barbecue pit outside with lots of carbon in it. Can I call it a diamond?
No.
So it takes the chemical, the basic, organic material, and develops it into how a lump of coal develops into a diamond. And at that point, it's imprinted.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words... you have, when you say carbon, for example, you think of a hard material like a lump of coal or a diamond, right?
Okay.
Or CO2 gas. It sublimates. It doesn't have a liquid state. It goes from a solid to gas, right? Mm-hmm. Like carbon dioxide, right?
Right.
But what people aren't talking about that in biological entities, there is a gel state of carbon, pure carbon. It's a gel state. When I mean a gel state, I mean like hair gel.
Right.
It's like jelly. And if you, it's light green color. And if you pour it on a table in any lab in the world and say, test that with your interferometer, spectrometer, tell me what it is. Do an assay, the best equipment in the world. It'll show it's 100% carbon. How is that possible? Oh, we don't want to discuss that right now. It will be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when they say that we're carbon-based creatures, you've heard of that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it's not the carbon that we are familiar with externally. It's the carbon that we're not familiar with that happens in all biological beings. What right. can you do with a gel? Could you imagine metallic hydrogen? I drop a bar of metal on your table heavy enough that it'll break your foot if you drop it on your. And if you have it measured, it's pure oxygen. You'll be mm-hmm. scratching your head all day, right?
Right.
Think about how incredible that is. Now, all these materials in different states can carry different things. Hey, here's an idea. Let's take a plastic tape, put magnetic particles on it, and when the music is playing through the input board, we'll stimulate those magnetic particles. So when we replay the magnetic tape over the inverse head, a magnetic head, it'll create an electrical impulse that will record music. Because before, you know, cassette tapes or regular tapes, they used wire for that, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got to the point where we're using light. And now we're using light within little chips. Do you know that here's a statistic, and I'm going to be conservative. I'm not going to exaggerate. Do you know that your typical stupid rectangle, what they call a smartphone, mm-hmm. has got 16 billion transistors in it? Think about it.
Well, I didn't know they had that many in it, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, look it up. It's actually conservative. The iPhone 13 or whatever's got 23.
No kidding.
The new ones, yeah. Or 10 years ago, they had 7 billion. How come? You know what a transistor is? It's a switching. Like, in other words, the old vacuum tubes. You know the good guitar amps and all.
Oh,
that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Each tube represents one transistor.
I know.
So they went away from the vacuum tubes. They put it on a solid state silicone chip, and they made it so small that they could put 16 billion. You know, if you stood here counting 16 billion seconds, you know, you might run out of time, right, in your life. Mm. That's how many transistors you'd be. So all of these, and we're doing this. I mean, I'm saying human hands, human artificers. We're talking about, you want to get real, 13-year-old slave girls in the Far East are building this, right? Think about it. You're not going to argue with me on that, right?
Not at all.
Okay. They're putting, so 13-year-old slave girls in the Far East are assembling devices that are fairly cheap with 16 billion transistors in that we can't count to 16 billion if we lived another 100 years.
Right.
You're carrying this around, right? And this is commonplace. This is nothing special I'm talking about.
Well, right. No, there are much more sophisticated things that are, yeah, not
yeah, most sophisticated things are so sophisticated that I cannot even talk about it.
Right.
I will. We'll broach it a little bit, and I'll show you how simple some of these things are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the what it means to be in this universe. When you listen to Greek speak, it is extremely rarefied. It talks about what this universe is about, which, by the way, is a grade B universe. We're not in a grade. Okay, it's a B movie universe. Okay. Okay. How else would you say it? It's where this universe is set up to be like a bad Saturday morning cartoon. How else can I say it? Actually, you know, I'm using references that you have to be born in the 70s or 60s to know, but so tell me if I get too retro.
It's all right.
This is the universe we're in. So, and it's a fine place for what it is. Let's go back to the container because we're going to run out of time. We always do.
Yeah,
you're always going to run out of time on this stuff. Well, the reason I use the container is to get people away from their body, because you're not your body, right? You know, mm-hmm. we'll talk about consciousness transfer. That's one of the technologies that's been around for over 90 years, and it's completely hidden from people, right?
Well, people still talk about that coming, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, it's already been around for 80 years, and it's constantly being developed for 80 or 90 years. The container, here's an interesting thing. You know, when people are illiterate, you show pictures. You don't, right? Remember the old towns? You had a shoe on the store. You didn't write, but you wrote shoes because most people weren't interested in learning how to read, right?
Yeah.
So when you go into biology, any human anatomy, medicine, and you study, let's say, gastrointestinology, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll find anatomy drawing of an intestine. And you're illiterate, and you look at it, and they tell you that some holistic idiot doctor says, I make a natural product that your body absorbs better. Look at the intestine. Show me how anything gets absorbed through 3 or 4 hydrophobic layers. As a matter of fact, you could download a cross-section of Firestone steel-belted radial tire and hold it next to the intestine drawing, and they're the same in principle.
Pretty much.
Right? Yeah, nothing goes through these membranes that they. Your lungs. Look at lung tissue. It's not as robust as the intestine, and the villi and all that are different because they need a higher surface area to a certain degree because things happen faster in the lungs. Hopefully, you hope in your body things happen faster in the lungs. But anyway, nothing goes through the body. It's in a vacuum. In other words, it's a vacuum. It's two separate atmospheres, interior, exterior. You have a tunnel that goes from the mouth through the eyes. This is discussed, right? So that throws contagions completely. The only thing that could be contagious is something actually lodging on the surface, interior or exterior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a serious problem because let's just think about it simply. We're just visiting here, you know, and we notice that they offer you the common courtesy that if you don't know how to read their stuff, they offer a picture once in a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only are all the medical textbooks and anatomy books full, chock full of text, but they have diagrams for the completely illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the highly educated nor the illiterate are picking up on what I'm talking about here, which is self-evident, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you ever go to a place where they, sausages, right? What is a sausage? It's ground meat stuffed in an intestine, right?
Yeah. It's what it should be anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So nothing goes out through there. In many, the concept of a soccer ball, you know, they used to take animal bladders and put air, or carry water. How are you going to carry water? Do you think they had wine flasks and water flasks made from animal skins, because the skin is the same, and animal organs, because they leaked? No. They made liquid containers out of animal skins and animal organs because they didn't leak.
Right.
There's nothing that goes through that. So, again, if you said 100% of the human population is moronic, that's pretty true, but if you pick out statistically, you can say 99.9999, because the medical textbooks and the biological textbooks are accommodating the literate and the illiterate, mm-hmm. and no one is noticing. So what do you do with a population like that? Yeah, you do a Charlie and the Greek once in a while. Poke them with a stick, right? Okay.
It's always a worthy cause. Yeah. Go ahead.
The only amendment I would make there with the container is that there are states of elements, metallic hydrogen, gel state carbon, on and on and on and on, that human bodies can make. I mean, any a plant can do it, right? Anything alive that has a metabolism, a soul is a metabolism, right? So metabolic rate is breathing, circulation, various systems, nervous system, circulatory, respiratory, right? When all those systems shut down, the body, the physical part, goes into chemical decomposition. It starts to, that's what death is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the mind and the spirit no longer is carried. Just like if you're, right now you have a soundboard and all this in front of you, recording and you're broadcasting. If I went in and pulled all the wires, I just took the soul out of everything and it's just going to shut down, even if they pulled the batteries out, right? Nothing
mm-hmm.
works.
Right.
So that's the soul. The spirit is the information that's being carried. So on the container, I would leave that alone for now. And going into how deep it can get, it gets very, very deep.
Mm.
And it's already been exposed. Like I said, they have it in text and they have it in pictures if you can't read and nobody still notices. What are they supposed to do? Knock on your door in the middle of the night and tell you, hey, you better learn this. No one's going to do that, right? So,
well, you know, and take note that in the third episode, we went to the Constitution.
Let's do that.
And, you know, what's interesting there is that I was just thinking to myself, were there pictures for the illiterate of the Constitution?
Well, why is it a con? Why isn't it a pro? Wouldn't you rather have the prostitution? Why do you got to be so con all the time?
I got you.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
okay, so the Constitution here, that's pretty good there. I don't know if I nailed sent home the point that it's a Freemasonic document, right? And there's something called, I'm going to be loosely going around the airy-fairy woo-woo circles, right? That the New Age. Okay,
sure,
let me give you an example. Back in the late 80s, I was living in Manhattan, and I had roommates and neighbors, and they were kind of New Agey. We were talking about flat Earth, concave Earth. Indigo babies coming in, a nurse says, yeah, babies that are being born now, they have a red spot behind their knee and they're like special babies. All the stuff you start hearing now, mm-hmm. you know, the New Age stuff, that started in the 1800s, but I was around the flat Earth. Look, in the 1990s, I was telling people, you know, the Earth might, they're lying to us, right? I already knew the moon missions. Look, when they broadcast the moon mission, I was 4 years old and the parents had a friend come over.
Right.
And at 4 years old, you might remember a good amount, but I remember looking at him and he says, everything they're showing on TV is a lie. This is being done in a film studio. While it was happening, not later. And I remembered that.
Right.
So when I started talking about that later, I was like, hey, there's somebody standing right there, right? In real time. So when I say about woo-woo, airy-fairy, mm-hmm. I've seen that my whole life. You know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. There's stuff like that's like way off what the mainstream believes.
Of course.
Now, and I'm not one, you know, it's something that, you know, it has its place, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a communication, that's all. I don't take it to heart. But it's just, you know it's there. And if you got access, you access the airy-fairy stuff. So anyway, they talk about, like, the Luciferian rebellion. You know, there's, like, this cosmic war, right? Mm-hmm. Of negative versus positive, the dark versus the light. The light is always portrayed as having a monarchy, an imperial reign, with princes, king, queen.
Okay.
The dark force may have that, but in a more evolved state, what they want to do is get out of people's minds that they should ever accept a king or a queen. So they invented this constitution thing, mm-hmm. where they have these various sections of government. So when you don't like what they're doing, you go to one group and they say, well, this other branch made us do it. And then you go to the other branch and they said, the other branch made us do it, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's a typical scam. So the whole thing about this constitution thing, and by the way, I had a long discussion with supposedly a constitutional lawyer and a constitutional scholar. And when I brought up things, they didn't even know it was in the constitution. So if your job is to study this document, and I say article such and section 10 says there will be no U.S. court will have any power in law or equity, they didn't even know it was in there.
Right.
I mean, and that's a major thing. If the Constitution says that U.S. courts have no power in law, then what the hell are they doing? It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I got you. Look, there's a few things in there that are rather contradictory to the
popular urban myth.
Yeah.
And there's no rights in the Constitution, right? Tell them about that.
Well,
Chuck,
that's another thing.
That's the Bill of Rights that came 14 years later. That was the second revolution, was the Bill of Rights. You know, the Constitution, there's a really good guy that studied this, and he's in Arkansas, Jerry mm-hmm. Kirk. His dad was studying it. His grandfather was studying it.
Okay.
They found documentation, the Constitution, it was 1789, way down. They sent it to the Vatican, and 5 years later it came back approved. The copy from the Vatican was the one they used, right? Mm. Because the whole thing is to get in your mind. Here, let me give another thing. When you say the Constitution is government, you have no government. You have the state. It's not the same. That's why if you go to any form, birth certificate form, driver's license form, the last, you know, you fill out all the stuff they want in the form and you sign it. What's the last thing on every form? Oh, they all say the same thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what form you use. It says all herein information is to be used for the good of the state. It doesn't say government. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. So that's another mix-up, like soul and spirit. You got to know the difference between the state and the government. So just like Federal Reserve, it's not federal and it has no reserves, right?
That's why one day I think I'd like to talk to you about the Magna Carta, but not today.
Magna Carta was a step in to create a lack of confidence. Okay, let me give you an example. I live in a free democratic society where the government has secret police agencies, secret spying. Mm-hmm. They put toxins in the food. They prevent healing methodologies. They arrest those that put healing methodologies out that go against their allopathic system. Mm-hmm. They have... they don't have any money. They have credit. They create money off your signature, and they lie to you every day. Okay, and there's no private ownership allowed, even though people think. Okay, that's the situation, and they basically deceive you. But it's a free democratic society, constitutional republic. Now here's this other society. It's a fascist dictatorship, and they're communist also, but they have a benevolent royal running it. And he makes sure that there's no secret police. The money is based on substance. All of the food is grown with strict measures that there's no toxins put in. The education system is free and open, and there's no revisionism in it. There is property ownership. And which one would you rather live in? Do you see?
Well,
obviously the communistic fascist where everything is good.
Well, right? See, but how is it communist and fascist if it's like that? You see, that's
yeah, exactly. So when they've got names against you, they say, "Oh, communist, that's bad." Well, it doesn't matter what form of government they have. Is it malevolent or is it benevolent? Is it parasitic and predatory or is it nurturing and benevolent?
Yeah, okay? See, that's so always minimal, that's right? Always the larger question. You know, when I find this going round and round with people about these isms all the time. That is the ultimate question to me.
Is it benevolent?
Is this a better circumstance to be in than that? Because I don't care what label you slap on it. Here's what's actually happening.
Right. That's the point with this whole thing, and that's why you don't have a government anymore. And you can actually. There was a congressman. They killed him twice. Believe it or not, if that's possible. he did the last in 1992. Congressional report says, "Hey, we're completely bankrupt. This is the largest trust in world history." 1933 bankruptcy, right? So you're living in a bankrupt entity. So the bottom line is, they drove everyone to places that they evaded the royalty. Because it's, if you have a malevolent government and it's got all these branches and sections, the chances of flipping them over to being benevolent, and by the way, when they're malevolent, they don't tell you they're malevolent, they tell you the opposite, right? Always, right? Because when someone's going into the hardware store to steal, if you ask them, what are you doing here? Do they say, I'm here to steal, or they say, hey, I'm just a customer, right? So it's, if you can't change it when it's a multiplex system. But if you have one guy in charge and his wife and his son or whatever, it's a lot easier to convince them, right? Two or three people. True. Than in what? You got 623 congressmen and whatever and senators. You got the executive groups. You got all the intelligence agencies, the court system. You're going to convince all of them to work together, make it benevolent. It's never going to happen, never, with a capital V. So the purpose of this whole discussion is to show people that careful on what words you use, because the word in itself doesn't hold the function. So a malevolent democracy versus a benevolent dictatorship, which one would you rather have? Most people, most Americans say, I'd rather have a malevolent democracy, because they're so, you know, over the edge right now, right?
Well, because they're attached to the term as opposed to the circumstance, the reality, yeah. The function of it, you know, and that is, again, a reason why I'll move us ahead just a little bit, because I titled it strangely the next time, and I think it was God is Dead? ?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, because now I went and gotten the list, as you suggested, which people can do if they search for it. Anyways, just to keep it in order.
Important.
It is very important because here is the greater question, right? What actually is all this organized upon? Because all along the way, whether it is the design of the external input or the intention of the container, right? What always enters that discussion? I mean, even atheists, which I find funny.
The atheists I like because they know the gig is up. They know that they're being served bullshit with religion.
Yeah, but they don't.
So it's easier to say atheists.
Wait a minute, but they don't. Because really, honestly, most of them, they don't actually adhere to that, just like everything else. Nothing's labeled correctly.
They use divine language. They said, well, this created that. Well, you need a creator, right? If you read the atheist books, they use the language that would mean there's an external input. Right.
Yeah, but they have. But here's what the problem is, though: is they always seem to find their way to another deity, and
yeah, of course,
they don't.
The state.
Yeah, exactly. It's the state.
You just ask them, you don't believe in God, but do you believe in the laws of the state? And they say, sure. Well, then the state is your God because your law comes from your God. And guess what? April 1st is your holiday, right?
Exactly. But that's my point. Is that,
and they do Christmas. Atheists do Christmas, by the way.
Now there are. The exceptions who actually seem to internalize the concept, and yeah, they know the gig's up. But my friend, most of these atheists have just basically adopted statism.
No, they're just as ignorant as your typical human. But the gods, okay, first of all, just delve right into it. There is no such thing. The god is a word like democracy or fascism, whatever, it alludes a certain thing. That's a Teutonic term. It means the sun. Teutonic meaning old German English.
Yes.
G-O-D-T, it means the sun. Or the sky, or the heavens. Like even today, if you go to this was worldwide. If you like in Asian cultures, they don't use the term God. It's the power of the heavens. Meaning, if they're flying in the sky, and they could drop shit on you, you better pay, you know, you better give them respect. That's basically what it is, right? If they're over, you know, in the military, it's called the higher ground, you know?
Well, kind of sensible. And, you know, just a quick allusion to a formerly passed.
So anyway, so there is no sense.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, this is sensible, though, to reckon with, to respect the power of something that can drop something on you out of the sky, okay? And
right. That's essentially what it is.
Right, and a quick allusion to somebody who passed on recently is that, you know, Jordan Maxwell's big point at all times was, you know, it makes sense to worship the sun, at least, because, well,
no, it
is a life giver, but it is a life giver. Without it, you're done.
Because, let's leave. I hope he's resting well. But let's go on.
My point is, this is yet another thing which is up in the heavens as far as you're concerned from your point of view, which you must reckon with. I mean, you can't say you can ignore the sun.
It doesn't have to be over in the sky. I'm using that as a convention that even the Easterners use. They could be under your feet. Also, for example, the easiest thing to say is when you look at the biblical, it's the Elohim. The word G-O-D is not in there. I don't know where they get – I know they get the G-O-D from the English versions and all, but it's incorrect.
Yeah, of course.
It's a derogatory term, actually. They're a race known as the Elohim, and if it wasn't for the Elohim, we wouldn't be here because they're basically preserving us. In essence, as we go on further on, you're not put here on this planet. This is the addendum to that, to do anything.
What people would call Genesis 1, I mean, Elohim is right there. That's it.
Well, that's all there is. It's Elohim and there are other Elohim within their scope.
Mm-hmm.
And also the biblical, we could get into it. That is all local. It has to do with a certain group of people. If you think it has something to do with you and you're not one of those people, well, you're deceived.
Right.
So, and you can be one of those people by allegiance, just like, you know, well, you can have someone born in another country and they get citizenship in another country by creating an allegiance. You do that. Mm. That's another way to do it. Not conversion. The only thing that you could convert is rice and currency. But so you notice they never talk about allegiance. They want to convert you to another religion. But then they take God out of these beings out of the picture completely.
Mm.
But give you an idea, you're not here. They didn't put you here to do anything. That's why you're always running around with horse and carriage. You're going to say, Greek, we're not running around with horse and carriage. Oh, hell, you were. The only time you haven't been running around with a horse and carriage is the past 100 years.
Yeah,
right?
There's that.
99% of the time that your ass has been on this planet, it's horse and carriage, dude, and you're walking with sandals.
I know.
99.9% of the time you've been on this planet. So
right.
The reason they set it up that way is the same reason. You ever see that Norway seed bank where they got these forklifts with these big pallets of seeds and they're putting it in the side of an icy mountain to store them in case all the seeds go away? They got seeds in the mountain, right?
Yeah, this is where they're supposed to be keeping all the heirloom seeds with the original, you know, non-tampered with, non-GMO.
Supposedly. Yeah. That's what we are here. We are put here, we're seated here, literally, to to preserve the human, a certain type of human, away from all the mess. It's kind of like a really bad neighborhood. I had a shop in Brooklyn, and it was a really bad neighborhood. I mean, like, really bad, you know, talking about, like, cliche crack houses and shootings every night.
Right.
And there's this industrial building. It was a welding, closed-down welding supply. And you went through the building into the back. And Brooklyn is a very old suburb.
Right.
And in the back, it opened up to this alleyway, and there was another building in there. There used to be an old carriage house. And it was just basically brought up to 1930 standards, where it had one outlet in the whole building, right? And I used that as my shop. And it was beautiful in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't see it from the street. You can imagine what I'm saying here, right?
Right.
And I felt like I was in paradise. You know, this building is 150, 200 years old, and old, where they used to shoe horses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it as a shop. And when I was in there, I didn't know you could hear the gunshots and all that, right? You see? So, and they didn't know that no one in the neighborhood knew that was there. They saw me going in and out. But you see what I mean? So that's how the earth is. You're in a really bad neighborhood, but you got this corridor that you're in right now. So, let me ask you, let's go back to the seed bank and the pallet that's stuck into the frozen mountain in Norway. We're two seeds inside that pallet. And hey, Chuck, what are we supposed to do? What do you mean, what are you supposed to do? We're wrapped up in this pallet inside of a mountain. You can't do anything. Think about it. You're not supposed to do anything. You're in a seed bank, right? But it doesn't mean it's terminal. Well, it seems terminal, right?
No, so but it's preservation.
You're going to be taken out, and you'll be able to grow.
Yeah.
So So that's why 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, you talk about making the world a better place, you get and find yourself eating out of a garbage can or dead. Which is great. But
better
to be dead, by the way, being out of a garbage can. Even though there is a true science to eating out of a garbage can.
No, guerrilla survival is urban guerrilla survival is a real thing, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You want to, because you don't want to get food poisoned. But here's the thing. These Elohim are a very, very specific group, right? Mm-hmm. Very specific. And you have other groupings. And then you have other beings, right? For example, here, you want to go for the area. This is a stretch. There's something called the Dragon of Old. Now, that keeps coming up. When you hear that of old term brought up in any text, that means that's as far back as we can go. Doesn't mean, in other words, that word of old in any ancient writ has incredible import. It's almost like saying original.
Okay.
The dragons were the first ones in this universe, not the Elohim, not the humans. Mm. Think about it. The humans, the Elohim, what people call Yahweh and God and all these other human beings, came later. This is a very, 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 very complex situation.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever actually talked about this
specifically
before. No,
I'm not. And I'm not going to get into details because there's no... You don't talk about the eighth grade when you're in the second grade, right? You can talk about it, but it ain't going to happen. So you got to progress through the study.
Yeah, you get little glimpses of it. Maybe, you know, look, eventually you're going to be doing this. Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's an alliance. There are alliances between different beings. Mm-hmm. Look, why do you think, okay, one of the things we talked about with the gods is that, you know, they're going to be making themselves known, but they're going to be making themselves known the way they really are, not the way in your King James or the way church or whatever tells you none of this stuff. They are from the sky, they're from above, and they have interests with us, both positive and negative. Okay? And we're in a time right now starting, and this is advice. I do give advice, all kinds of advice to people. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Your prayers and meditations mean nothing. You're in that time period starting now, actually started a little while ago. As time goes on, no one's going to be listening to you anymore. So you can get on your knees and pray for help. You ain't getting nothing. You're on your own. There are beings, lesser beings, that are predetermined to help you mm-hmm. before you pray. Mm-hmm. So when you think you're praying and you're getting help, well, they knew about that before you even, you see what I mean? This is the point that you're at right now, because the level of danger, cosmic danger, spiritual danger that exists is radio silence. Right before a war, right before the first battle, they do radio silence. You ever notice that when the bombers, even in the movies, they show the bombers ready to fly over the city, do they start yipping and yapping over the radio, or is it radio silence when they take off, actually? You know about this, right?
Yeah, of course.
Same with the police. When the police are going to go raid someone, they're radio silence, right?
Right. Now, this is what causes me to actually skip over Learn to Tell Time, which is episode 5, and then go to the dummy load, because I fear that that's where we're going to start. And that was one of the most evocative phrases you used, which got, people upset a little bit.
Keeping time or the dummy load?
The dummy load, of course. Keeping time was sort of like, well, okay, I can understand that. That sort of made sense. You see, to a lot of people who said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, because how do you do this? You have to observe. Why is it, you know, we talked about how the clock is really kind of a meaningless thing. It's meant to represent something, but...
Hold on. The clock is good for navigation.
Navigation, sure. I mean, it helped us get together.
If you know your speed and you know your time, you can measure your distance, literally.
Of course. But right? No. Look, it's perfectly good in trigonometry. You know what I mean? Where you do require three factors. Okay, it's fine. But when you got to the dummy load, it just people took it personally. Which, by the way, the question in the chat comes up. Which, let's see. Let me just read it verbatim. What does the Greek value most? Freedom or truth? Which would he prefer?
Truth, because you can't have freedom without truth.
There you go. And I think that's it.
It's like, which one do you value, food or water? Water, because if you have water, you can make food.
True enough. There you go. So, But back to this, I think this leads right into the dummy load because, again, it was a misunderstood term. Some people took it, regardless of what you said, as, oh, okay, so we're all dummies, which you had said 100 times already, but they didn't hear it until you used the word dummy.
Well, if they took it personally, it means they were someone takes something personally, a.k.a. insulted to a certain degree, you can only insult the ignorant. Someone who is well-versed in whatever they think they want to know about and they're looking for the truth cannot be insulted. Mm. Hey, if we were in the same room right now and you said, hey, Greek, you got tomato sauce going down your shirt. Now, I can be insulted or I could say, hey, I didn't see that. Thank you. Right?
Right. No,
or, hey, you're trying to insult me? You say I'm a slob? You see? So the character. So people that take things personally and get insulted tells you a lot about their character. There's a lot of character tests. Here, I'll give you an example in terms of the dummy load. I have a greeting on the phone, right? So when you call it, and this weeds out, you know, when you get a number that you don't recognize, you might want to answer, you might not. But, you know, it's a new incoming, right?
Well, you still have that greeting on your phone? Because that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Basically, okay. It says, you have reached the number that you have just dialed. If you believe you've reached an error, hang up and dial it again. And very often I'll see a number, the four rings, that get the greeting, it hangs up, and then 30 seconds later, the same number calls back. So right now, I know who I'm dealing with, someone who is not listening, someone who is not paying attention. I just weeded out about 75 to 80% of all the possible headaches I could have with this person if I end up doing business with them, whether it's for a month or a year or 10 years. I just weeded them out. I just boxed them. I pigeonholed them in a category that is actually objectifiable and usable in my advantage. Say, hey, this guy can't pay attention. Why would I invite him over to something? You see what I mean?
Right,
so when
right.
I say these things and people get insulted, hey, fine, go sit in a corner and be insulted because you deserve it until you change it. That's the thing about external input.
Right.
You can change it. It's malleable.
Well, that's the thing. And new information or different input from what you've already received then changes what it is you have to work with as far as making evaluations. I mean, so
we've been through. You got the Buddhist, you got the witch, you got the born again Christian, all with on air with all this stuff. And I can't engage. I don't mind listening to a witch or a Buddhist or a born again or whatever, but you got to bring something that has some value. Mm-hmm. Not some, you know. Like, give you an example. I found out a lot of people in America, especially, they get when you talk to them like old commercial jingles. Mm-hmm. Right? They get that. That's what they were raised on. Like, you want to explain something to them. If you say, oh, Calgon, take me away, they're like, oh, yeah. You know, or if you use things that they saw on TV commercials, this is their cult. This is their character. This is how their characters, they were raised on junk.
Right.
You see?
No, I totally understand. That's one of those things that, you know, whenever people are cause to what is the term used actually, where you reminisce? It's you know
on what though? That's the quality.
Oh, I understand, but before you get to quality, you can strike that tone because of repetition, because they were steeped in it, and that's what it is. It's got nothing to do with the quality actually.
Well,
it's just because they were steeped in it. They immediately recall it, and it creates a comfort zone. You can bridge gaps with people that you disagree with by getting them to relate to something where you're now
sure,
sharing
which is,
the experience.
Which is not a dummy load. A right. dummy load is, see, I know all those jingles. I was raised in the 60s and 70s, right with that. But I don't incorporate it in my character at all. But I noticed that other people do, and that's fine. You have a choice, right? We do live in a certain amount of free will with that.
No, I'll throw something at you right now. Yeah, I'll throw something at you right now. Greg walks downstairs, alone or in pairs, and I bet you know what it is. You've already got it in your mind. It's actually not a bad
slinky.
Thing. It's a slinky. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, how many people know that? Hey, you know, when you want to see...
But see, now listen, voice...
Can we use medical terms on this, or is this going anywhere anyway?
Yeah, no, it'll go places, but you know what? YouTube has me suspended right now, okay. So screw it. Go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, you want to see something funny? Hand somebody who was born after 1990 a regular dial telephone. Not a touchpad, but a dial phone, and ask them to dial on...
oh, yeah.
place a phone call. They can't. They don't even. It's the. It's like watching a monkey trying to fuck a football, right?
Yep.
So anyway, what do you do with that? Well, you know, they're enlightening them. Like, I've met some wonderful, wonderful young children, and the nanny would put them in front of the TV, and I told the parents, don't let the TV. And the nanny just puts these wonderful children, twins, boy and girl, fraternal twins, in front of them. I said, and the parents got insulted. I said, you know, your nanny has the children in front of the TV all day. The TV is raising your children. They didn't want to talk to me after that because I told them the truth, right? But I had to be said. But I talked to the children, and they thought the TV has been around since Noah's Ark. They didn't know when it was invented. I said, you know, the TV is pretty recent, 1920s, 1930s. People didn't have them in their homes till really the 50s and 60s. They were like, wow, no one ever told us that, you see?
Right.
I'm serious.
Just to give it.
So, yeah, they never looked into it. And I just gave them a list. It's not really, you know, we're not made for that, you know, at this point. You know, you could be made for it with a chip in your head later. You might have to have it. But anyway.
Well, you've been around young children recently, right? Because if you're around younger children recently, you'll find they have no concept of a time when there wasn't these little computers and like you said, the stupid rectangles. I mean, it's almost like that's a given. That's been here like air. You know what I mean?
Handwriting is do you remember the well, there's phrenology, reading someone's face, but there's handwriting also analysis, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's gone out the window. What are they going to do now? Keypad analysis? Touchpad analysis?
I don't know. So emoji analysis?
It doesn't matter. But here's the thing. The dummy load is basically a waste of time. Like a dummy load example, the technical term is, you know, you have something on a benchtop. Before it goes out in the field, you put a load on it to see if it'll how it's going to perform in, you know, in a real-world situation.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that is if I had a treadmill in here and I ran a mile on it, I can tell you I ran a mile today on a treadmill. Right, it's fairly accurate in terms of effort, but did I go anywhere? It's right here in my living room. Did I go anywhere? No. That's a dummy load. Like a treadmill is a dummy load. A hamster wheel is a dummy load. Right.
Right.
So when you turn on all this media, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, I have a bullshit filter I designed for the computer, and a lot of times what it does is it filters out the bullshit sound. I'm like, wife sits on the computer. You got no sound on the computer. I go to these different websites. I say, yeah, because the bullshit filter is on. Turn the bullshit filter off, and you'll get some sound. Right?
So I need one of those.
This is part of the, oh, Calgon, take me away, right? So
really?
The dummy load is a waste of time. So people, all these issues, again, I see, I've actually been very good about avoiding. I use the computer like a reference pocket. Remember, okay, you go to a hardware store, they might still have them, pocket reference books.
I don't know if they still have them, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
It has everything, conversions, in fact, you know, usually machinists use, I mean, yeah, people in the technical art, you know, if you like building stuff, it's good to have one of those. Melting points, boiling points, you know, chemistry, it's got a little bit of everything, you know.
Right, you got your periodic table in there, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so anyway, the whole thing about, I lost track now, where were we? We're still on the dummy load.
Well, you know what we'll do? We'll take a little break. All right,
okay.
Because we've been at this for about an hour, and you've got a faster pace today than I'm used to, I got to be honest with you.
That's
but,
all right.
But it's okay. We will adjust and return after just a little pause. Be right back with the Greek.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com.
Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
Smoke free. A diversified multicultural postmodern deconstruction is politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bi-coastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with my database is in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive. Behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, pushing the envelope. I'm on point, on task, on message, and off drugs. I got no need for coke and speed. I got no urge to binge and purge. I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, but under the radar. A high concept, low profile, medium range ballistic missionary. A streetwise smart bomb. A top gun bottom feeder. I wear power ties. I tell power lies. I take power naps. I run victory laps. I'm a totally ongoing Bigfoot slam dunk rainmaker with a proactive outreach. A raging workaholic. A working rageaholic. Out of rehab and in denial. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up. You can't dumb me down. Because I'm tireless and I'm wireless. I'm an alpha male on beta blockers. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever. Laid back but fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long lasting, high definition. Fast acting, oven ready, and built to last. I'm a hands on foot, loose knee jerk head case, prematurely post traumatic, and I have a love child who sends me hate mail. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. A supportive, bonding, nurturing primary caregiver. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position, I'm a long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I'm gender specific, capital intensive, user friendly, and lactose intolerant. I like rough sex, I like tough love. I use the F word in my email, and the software on my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn. I bought a microwave at a mini mall, I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll free, bite sized, ready to wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cock-blocked and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow, I go with the flow, I ride with the tide, I get glide in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road.
If you want to play Blind Man, Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now at Ocelli.com, but of course, you're probably catching this further on down the stream via your final slab of choice, your applicable application, your podcatcher is yours, so you're probably not on the same timeline as me at the moment. Anyway, it's Monday, and according to that thing we call a calendar, it is just after, well, geez, it's actually more than quarter after 9 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, but I'm sure you're hearing this some other time, some other place, so no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, well, okay, so I'm talking to the Greek, and, you know, something comes up here. We're going through this list, which is publicly accessible, and you can find it out there, of the many Ocelli and the Greek shows, which were done in two sections. One of them were episodes, and then the other were chapters, okay? The second one was chapters. Anyway, you put them in order, they're pretty interesting, but they're not totally available out there on the internet, unless you're a member at Ocelli.com. Now, you do that, you have access to the Ocelli and the Greek list, where I saved all of them. And there's also an episode which was not publicly ever aired anywhere. So that's that. If you choose to support me over here, you do get all of the episodes, just so you know. But there's a lot of other stuff over there, and I constantly put up content which is only available to members at Ocelli.com. So I say this because, you know, it's been waning support lately, Greek. I just want you to know, again, seemed to go up a little bit and then back down.
That's very easy to do. If you're looking for support, I don't mean like just a plain old jockstrap, but if you're looking for input, there's 7 billion people out there.
Right.
Right. You ever go fishing?
Sure.
You have to use the appropriate lure. You have to use the appropriate bait. You have to use the appropriate, right, location.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy.
Well,
no, I'm sorry. It's
totally,
very simple.
I totally
but once
understand.
You see how simple it is, you start with the simplicity of getting, quote-unquote, what do they call it? Well, yeah, internet people, they don't put up subject matter. They call it content. That's
content.
What they call it, right?
Yes.
And then they get followers. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Years ago, I was around an old school salesman, and you take out a contract, you know, and the prospective buyer, you know, when he signs the contract, it's done.
Right.
If he saw you sitting there with the buyer for more than 20 minutes, he walks up to your desk with the prospective buyer sitting across from you. He doesn't look at anybody. He puts his big hand on the contract and crumbles it up and throws it in the garbage and tells the prospective salesman to leave. I mean, prospective client to leave. And I'm like, what the hell, Lenny? What's going on? He says, I told you, if you can't get them to open their wallet in the first 15 minutes, some kind of commitment, you could like, what is it? You court them for the next 3 months. They're wasting your time. Mm. Better, I'd rather have you doing nothing than doing, you know, courting these idiots, you know?
Right. Well, you know, throwing
so
your
you
effort
gotta,
after
So that. Here, this is, we should probably be off. Do something that if in less than 15 minutes you want people to join.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I understand. That's
an Illuminati number, by the way, 1551. You got to play the numbers, 322-666.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, play the number. They tell you, play the numbers, right?
Which, by the way, that comes into the next part of the discussion. Because we did talk about numerology and all that. And exactly how this really stands, what the circumstances is with the three sixes and all that. And, well, what does everybody think of when you usually bring this up? Satanism. We had a discussion about that after the dummy load.
Let's just interject what that is. Okay, real quick. You have a race of beings, let's say, known as the Elohim. There are many races. And they had an internal reorganization where a group of them fell out of favor.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that fell out of favor became messengers or angels. And the angels that had a bad reputation and fell out of favor even more were known as demons. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a corporate structure or in the military or whatever where someone gets demoted.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the military, an honorable discharge would be an angel. A dishonorable would be a demon.
Right.
And by the way, when I talked about the quote-unquote dragon types, you have both on both sides. You have more dragons coming over to the human side, like a hybrid type.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds very, very woo-woo to people, but that Satan character was one of those, and in persona, meaning because they're not physical beings, right? So the persona generally, just like in Star Trek, they were fighting the Klingons, and then later on they rebooted the series, and now they have a Klingon. You know, they made amends, and the Klingons are on the bridge. You know, he's an officer, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's the Satan character, and there's many. He's part of a program. There's many of them, but yeah, you gotta. You know, if you spend your whole life finger painting on the wall with chocolate pudding, and you think that's academic or religious or whatever, you gotta boil these terms down to very simple black and white. You know, immature, spiritual immaturity, you can call it.
Right, right. And, you know, we closed out that first portion, excuse me, of the series with Random Thoughts, where we kind of attempted to do what we're doing right now, which is to address each of the issues already addressed and discuss that. And that's what it looks like it closed out at, but it didn't. It actually went on a bit. But I know that that was an effort to sort of clarify everything that had come before.
Well, which are, by the way, everything I've ever said publicly is an introduction.
Right.
Even if it's a two-hour topical episodic sonic event, it's still an introduction.
Of course.
The point is that no one seems to get, very few get, is there's a formula to doing this stuff. It's basically comprehension. And you don't have to make stuff up like people do.
Right.
You just look at what's been memorialized that came before you. It doesn't matter if it's written or audible. Something that came, but don't piss on and shit on everyone that came before you. In other words, if they wrote something down, guess what? It might be worth reading.
Well, see, right? That's what so I was trying to get up. At before when I was talking about building on the knowledge previous. Because everybody does, regardless of how it is, you know, they're an innovator, they've come up with something. Nobody comes up with something out of nowhere. It's all based on something. If it's of any value, I mean,
you got the superhighway, the informational superhighway. Most of the universe, most of existence, let's say universe, is not physical as we know it. The physicality that we live in, what they call the 3D world, is no different than as if you went inside of a mountain. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking going inside of a mountain after you dig a tunnel. Mm-hmm. As if I just snapped your fingers and you appeared inside of solid rock. How much mobility and freedom do you have? You're like, holy crap, I'm inside of a rock. I can't do anything. And pretty soon you won't be able to breathe. So the density that the humans live in, this 3D, is minuscule. It's 1/1,000,000% of physical, of the reality of what's out there. And this is the next level for humanity to realize that.
Well, this is why the cosmic censorship issue is mentioned throughout all of the episodes, too.
Of course.
And, you know, for someone who's saying cosmic censorship.
Well, and also remember, we precognate a lot of the stuff. We said the word censorship more than anybody else did 5, 6, 7 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do they have now?
Oh, well, now everybody's screaming about the censorship everywhere.
We use that word at least 10 times each episode.
Oh, I know.
7 years ago. And we're trying to tell people, hey, the censorship, you're always censored. But now it's in your face.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
still don't care. So.
Well, no, that's the thing, is they care about what they think their freedom is. And it's always so funny to me. It's always based on a bad premise, you know. I have the freedom to be on Twitter, do you? Okay, well, I didn't know.
I hear the word people want freedom, it's like in the police report, we shot him 14 times for his own safety.
Yeah, right. But
I've seen that, police reports. They killed the guy for his own safety.
Well, that's the thing, you know, you're fighting for peace, you know. You're making a mistake here. You're engaging
well,
in the wrong thing.
The way you get peace is not by making war on war.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, is that there's always this false premise built into either what they're saying or what they're aiming at. You know, it's like the people that say they want to get to a certain thing, I always look at it and go, well, that's not what your actions say. I understand what the words are.
Dummy load anybody? Dummy load anyone, right?
There you go. So, okay. Now, I want to run through some of these other things, and I know we're not going to get all the way through the list, even if we had the complete list, and I had all kinds of notes. But let's see what we can get done here in the time we have, and I think that's always a worthy thing to engage in. All right. Stop looking for Atlantis. You're standing on it. Okay, well.
That's right.
Now, that was fun because a lot of people started asking about the, you know, the different places. By the way, somebody in the chat room says they had not heard the, you know, like watching a monkey fuck a football since their grandfather, and they appreciate hearing that because they haven't heard it since. I use that term on occasion. I just usually don't say it on air because I usually don't use that language on air. But
yeah, right. Well, the other one I really like
adequate,
is they couldn't
adequate,
pour...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other one I really like is they couldn't pour piss out of a boot even with instructions on the heel.
Print it on the bottom, yeah, or print it on the heel. Which...
Yeah, even with instructions on the heel.
Yep.
So, see, that's the whole thing about it. Just, you know, look, if someone took the time to write something down, or it doesn't mean all of it and everything, that means that, a technical manual. Here, this is going to tie into what you're saying about Atlantis and all this
really,
stuff.
Really, 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 really fast before we go to Atlantis, is that another question comes up. Which is, what happened to the old question everything, in quotes, archive?
Archive? That's your business. I never put anything on the internet other than a single page in an email.
Right.
Never archived anything.
I think it may be that that was a site that someone else had put onto a server, and I think maybe it does not. It's not accessible.
I'm very
currently.
Easy. Look, here's the other thing. I give my time freely because I know that if you live your life here and you help one person with something, mm-hmm. even trivial,
mm-hmm.
your job is done here. Right? So the easiest way to get in touch with me is uncommonradio.com, and if you hold your mouse over where it says email or whatever, it'll that's the email. It's uncommonsenseradio1@gmail.com, and that's an email.
Right.
Or use the same email for Skype contact. I'm very easy to contact, and I'm free with my time.
Right.
So if you want a frozen dinner, that's the archive. If you want a fresh cooked meal, hit me up.
Well, that's the other thing. You gave me a very good way to freeze fish, actually, one time.
Yeah, and water. You don't ever get the freezer. You know, yeah. Water evaporates more at room than room temperature in that freezer. You know, but once you go, that's the freezer. But if you go below, you know, what they call a medical freezer, below 70, minus 70 or so, which is very dangerous, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The double door freezers and all that, you don't get freezer burn. But if you throw it in water, not just fish, but anything else that's like that.
Well, no, but it was a great way to actually get the fish to not be damaged by being frozen for it extends the life in the freezer for the fish.
You believe it or not, if you don't open and close that freezer door a lot, it's good for 10 years in the water. Hey,
I believe
they go down and they pull stuff out of glaciers all the time, right? Thousands mm-hmm. of years old, right? And it's still edible, right?
No, I understand. I'm just saying that was just one of those things I never considered, even though it should have made sense to me. One of those. I'm just pointing out that you actually have
careful of what makes sense to you. Careful
culinary thing. Well, you know, I got a friend named Joe who told me you had a great way of cooking potatoes too. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Stovetop, yeah.
But
yeah,
I love
that you got that. The stovetop cooking, by the way, I got from the old Cherokee Indian. You say white man uses a lot of wood, makes a lot of smoke, very little heat. The Indian uses very little wood, no smoke, a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
No, fair enough. I'm just saying that it's just. You never know what it is you could gain. Since you mentioned, you know, I could show you how to cook a good meal. I was just explaining all along the process. You've actually got some good knowledge there. If that's all you want to hear, I'm sure you'd be more than happy to provide somebody with instructions on stuff like that. So, anyways, okay. So stop looking for Atlantis. Yes, and then recaps and ginger snaps. See, again, we had to go back over stuff. Is what happened there. That kept happening a lot. Let's see. Reference to history. And I guess that was, you know, talking about what we covered that at the very beginning of the show when you and I were talking about that. And then, of course, quality food, water, and law. Which, okay, that's an interesting mix.
Law, you don't have any law. That's been gone for over 90 years. Worldwide, more than 60 years. Some very religious societies try to have some law form. And money. Law and money go together, by the way. If you lose your law, people say, so what, Greek? What's the difference if I use a piece of paper to get food or substance back money? Well, the problem is you lose your law. Mm-hmm. That you could be arrested and charged for stealing rocks from the moon, right? And then what are you going to do? So it's set up that way. But that's, again, okay, there's a problem that you have. The solar system is in a neighborhood. This is something I never brought up, and this goes with Atlantis and all the other stuff.
Good.
You build a new house, right? Life savings. It's a big house, like McMansion, whatever. Big house, big, beautiful house, everything, all the amenities. So what you do is you live on the roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rain or snow, you live on the roof. No, okay. You don't live on the roof. You live inside.
Right.
When you have an advanced society anywhere, you don't live on the surface. You live on the surface. You're subject to solar events, meteorites, weather, attacks. Yes, attacks from other beings. Right? So you live inside the planet, inside. So when they tell you all these planets are barren, look at the surface, they're very advanced beings living inside. Nothing is wasted. They're all inhabited. There are some dead planets, like the moon is a dead planet, meaning it's dead. So it's been hollowed out and used and repurposed as a satellite as it is.
Okay.
because there was a time when we didn't have a moon, not too long ago, like 500,000 years, let's say.
Well, you know, reading H.G. Wells very carefully, when he said Martians were coming, it's kind of interesting because people would say, oh, well, we didn't have the telescopes to see that there was nothing on the surface of Mars. Well, we did, actually.
Yeah. Lowell was right. You could look up right now. Lowell, the astronomer, has lots of notes of what he saw in the telescopes. He says, there's a war on Mars.
Yeah.
Explosions, smoke every night. Well, what are they going to do, discredit him? They just put it, hide it away. Up until the 70s, NASA used to put out transient lunar phenomenon. Transient meaning like, you know, weird stuff going on the moon. They cut that off. But it's very, very, very active. The thing is, though, we're intelligent beings from other places know our purpose, which is no purpose, just to exist until a certain time. We're in a seed vault, in a seed bank. What are you supposed to do when you're in the waiting room? Remember the waiting room?
See, that was another. It was another a long concept where we explained that along with the end credits, which started to get people a bit worked up.
We've been in the credits.
Well, no, but we were in the waiting room.
Until 2025. We're in the 2021 and a half. When you pass that point, I said this even before.
Right.
When you pass 2021 and a half, that will determine those 3.5 years after 2018 what the next 3.5 years will be like till 2025.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on point.
No, so far that's the thing.
It's all A++ material.
But as I was saying, we were in the waiting room, and you know, but we are in the time when it is the end credits. So here we are, and now actually it's kind of interesting because 2022. Yeah, that would be definitely at the end of the first phase of what you talked about, and we were doing that in, I don't know, 2014, 2015.
Well, no, it's not really a phase. It's a, okay, I gave the play school room version of it.
Okay, help me out.
You have 4 7-year periods and 7 4-year periods, and they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
But the more predominant ones are the 7-year periods, and the middle of 7 is 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that 3.5 year into the 7-year period, and this one would be 28, that started in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So 3.5 puts you at 2021.5. When you get to the 3.5 year period, what that does is it shows you basically this is what the next 3.5 is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a stalled, you know how, I don't know if you ever heard about this, we're using this a lot lately, like the 20th century was a stalled century. They stalled it with World War One, World War Two, all the other wars, the bankruptcies, the UN, all this stuff. They stalled it. In other words, you know, when it was stall, I mean literally stopped it. The creativity that you had in the 20th century harkens back to whatever was developed in the 19th century, right?
Mm.
19th century, they attempted to stall it in the beginning, but it was super creative all the way through. 21st century definitely got stalled because it started with 2001, right? You know, people think, you know, when did the 20th century start? Not 1900, 1901, right? So, like when you're born, you're in your first year. Or when you're born, you're in your first decade. When you're born, you're in your first century. When you're born, you're in your first millennia. It depends on how you want to, you know, break down the time period.
Right.
But the 21st century was definitely stalled 7 months, I think it's 9 months, into it. You know, they nuked Lower Manhattan and brought in, you know, airplane restrictions and all this other stuff, you know, made a lot of people rich, you know, when there were no airplanes involved. So they keep stalling it. So there's no creativity. It doesn't mean that you don't have little tech advancements here and there, but there's no what I mean stalled means the creativity goes away. And then when the creativity – see, when a century is stalled, it could go two ways. One is you stop creativity and advancement, or you create a period of destruction, like they did in the 20th century. You know, before World War One and World War Two, Europe was completely different, right? You know,
right.
It was none of the old buildings, very few of the old buildings survived. None of the maps read the same, and the cultures were completely. There was over like 140 different groups of Germans. Or Prussia, you know, anyway, all that was boiled down. Anyway, there was a period of destruction, but if you do the destruction too much and there's too much power in the people in the hands, just like now they, you know, they're doing the school shooting programs again.
Right.
Well, why would they want to take your guns away if they didn't intend to do something that you'd want to shoot them for? So, you see?
Yeah. No, I keep saying that, you know, these people that talk about the guns being... They're absolutely wrong.
But they're not really... see, that's not the pistols. It's the heavy armament, you know. I was at a shooting range once here and shooting all kinds of 308s, you know, all the standard stuff.
Yeah.
And a guy pulls up, pulls a canvas off the Jeep, and he's got a 50 caliber anti-aircraft... the pickup truck target in the shed to smithereens with tracers. I was like, holy shit, I didn't know that there were people, you know, quote-unquote civilians with such ordnance, right. You know, and there are.
No, there are, but that's, it's rare.
There's frequency weapons now. They could get you from space. They can get you through your telephone. You know, your telephone has a smartphone, has sensors that has your body temperature, heart rate, breathing rate, and all that in there, right?
Well, I've tried to explain that, you know, people that are worried about the chips, I don't buy the whole chip thing because it's not necessary. There are biometric measurements where all you got to do is scan. You got the ID. And you don't need to physically implant anything because you have a connectivity through waves. So
also, they have time tech. There's no time travel. You just go from event to event. Mm. Hey, here, you ready for a little twister?
Sure.
Okay, so when you do a history lesson to children, you bring out what they call helps, like books, films, whatever, right, to do the history. All right? So imagine 10 million years from now, they're doing a history lesson for children, and they create this hologram. It's a physical hologram, and we're in it. We are merely being demonstrating a history lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine instead of a pop-up book or a film, they actually have a 3D reality. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing is if everything's predetermined in the future, just like a blueprint, it has all the renderings of the building. You know, you look at the ground, there's nothing there. Guy shows up with his pickup truck, he unrolls the paper or his iPad, and he shows you what they're going to build there.
Right.
Well, that's the future, right? It's nothing there now. And it's got every detail in it, right? You know, a comprehensive architectural drawing even goes down to every nut and bolt, especially on a ship or an airplane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if everything is predetermined, when they finish the design 10 million, 50 million, 100 million years in the future, and they start replaying it now, when we go into our past, we're closer to the future, because that's when they started it. And as we go into our future, we're going more into the past.
Mm-hmm.
This is how there is no time travel, because time travel is, like you said, with the clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's events. How events are structured in the ether. Because everything, the most solid object, the atom, even anyone will tell you that analyzes this without the BS, so you know, stuff they put out in colleges. The researchers, they'll tell you that the densest material, when they look at the atomic structure, it's 99% space. You know, right. If you say proton, neutron, electron, it's all space, even a diamond. There's nothing there. So it's how the ether is structured and vibrating.
Right.
So the way you set up, let's say, the mathematics for something, see, math, nature doesn't do math, right? There's this guy, Theriopaphosis, Ken Wheeler. He says, Mother Nature is not a crack whore with a calculator. She's this barefoot honey with hairy armpits running around. That's Mother Nature, right?
Okay.
So, all right, so time travel, the way you do the math, I've gotten this recently, and it's not anywhere.
You're going robotic on me, Greek, moving around or something. Wow, totally robotic there, Greek. Not,
let's do this.
Yeah, you're not, your sound is not coherent. Hang on a second, because it's just going all over the place. Maybe you're moving around, I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear.
All right, you're still breaking up and going weird. All right, you know what I'm going to do, guys? I'm going to quickly take a little break. And, I'm going to just do that, because I want to see if we can get him back and see if we can finish this thought, at least, before we're done here tonight, so... Hold on, Greg. We'll get back to you in a sec. The Ocelli Effect will return.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
So after a slight electronic disturbance, we return with Greg. And it was so funny because he says, I know how time travel works. And then all of a sudden... yeah, you got that. So anyway, let's try again. Greek, you were saying.
Yeah. All right, so let's just leave that one alone, but it's not how time travel works, because there is no. You're actually moving from a different events in the ether, let's say, in the substrate.
Right.
And it's not, I got the math for it, meaning, you know, it's the kind of math that people use. Not like I've measured this board. I've cut this board twice and it's still too short, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you see someone on a construction site and they don't know how to read a tape measure. It's 16 and two lines. I'm like, well, come on, you got to learn how to read these things. That's just the math, mm-hmm. right? So the math behind it, nature doesn't use math. It's just a form of communication, right?
Okay.
Like I got some eggs, I got some beers. All right, how many? You know, that helps me, you know? Because some could be two or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the math is just that. It just helps one organize, get organized, let's just say. That's what ledgers are for. So I have a ledger on that. And what it is basically is determining the properties of something, not only of the properties as we commonly describe something, but the properties of where they are and when they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this has been in active use, this technology has been actively used now for over 100 years on the population unawares, right? So there's only so much, you know, that we can get into. But, hey, if anybody wants to talk about time travel, I'm open for it, but maybe we'll do it on another occasion.
Yeah, because I would relish the opportunity to even be able to witness events in the past directly, you know, and I've been told by more than one person that this is possible. But you got to stop thinking about it that way. And there is, you know.
Yeah. But well, we go back to what we said. If you want to think about something, like, look, all right. These, I'm not going to say what religion it is, like Christians. But they got this symbol, right? And it's not biblical. It's not historical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to experience that, how about just starting what's written about it first, right?
Yeah.
If you want to learn about something, how about gather together what's been written about it first and then maybe go more direct. You know, that's the thing. Why am I the only one stating that when the Christ was arrested, whether you believe in it or not, historically and biblically, he was brought to Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands of the matter and said to the religious authorities who performed the arrest, I am returning him back to you. Use your law. And that we know clearly that the religious authorities of Judea are not Roman, and their method of execution is Mosaic law, which is by stoning. And if you read the events as the people witness this, is clearly not what symbolism the people are using, right? So I mean, how retarded is that?
Well,
so
I approach that,
deceive them,
yeah. I mean, I approach that as first of all, this idea of the cross, right? This is not a form of execution used at that time.
It's just no.
So
well, actually, it was prior to it. It's not even. It was actually, believe it or not. You ready for this? Crucifixion was never considered execution. It was a form of torture. You were put up there for 3 days, and after 3 days, they let it. If you had friends or family members, they usually took you down.
Yeah, but
for 3 days, they couldn't. You know.
But yeah. They didn't put you on.
It was created
a,
by the Assyrians.
Yeah, but they didn't put you on a cross beam. They put you on a tree, usually.
No, actually, the crucifix that they're talking about is an Assyrian form of torture. It was never capital punishment. Capital punishment is beheading or stoning.
Well,
or
yes, yeah, but the thing is, even if the Romans were seeking to execute somebody, they wouldn't have used that. They wouldn't have used it in that form. The Romans didn't do it anyway.
But there was no argument, because if we go back to the text, it couldn't be more clear.
Yeah,
Pontius Pilate said, I'm returning him back to you to use your law.
Right,
period.
And next step
is,
as you said, Mosaic law. They don't have that in there.
It's death by stoning. It's very clear. It's actually details of that are given in Deuteronomy 21.
Right.
By the way, if you believe anything and you hold the adherence to that biblical text, you're completely deceived. The 99% of the people that have anything to do, that anything that comes out of there, are completely deceived
mm-hmm.
by it. It has nothing to do with 99.999% of the people. It does state things that are coming upon the earth. Yeah, they're, but when it comes upon the earth, you're going to go with it anyway. So again, it has nothing to do with you. It's a children's book. This is what the scripture, the biblical scripture, is. Very high order beings that were a billion years technologically ahead of us billions of years ago gave us that as a children's book. And if you're an adult and you say you can understand that, maybe you should give it to your cat and dog, and they'll maybe understand, because you're really far gone. It's written as a children's book. That's why you don't find 99% of the relevant things that one uses in their lives in there. Just like if you went to a bookstore and picked up a book for 4 to 6 year olds, you're not going to learn how to build, you know, fix your car with that. It's, you know, remember Fun with Dick and Jane and See Spot Go? That's the level of the scripture. That's where it's at. It has to do with a certain group of people. And if you want to be part of that people, you have to basically have allegiance to this particular God or entity.
Right.
And he gives you laws. Like Simon says, if you want to be one of my people, you do this. And if you don't do that, guess what? You ain't his people. So this goes with all the religions, by the way.
Mm.
And these are non-imperial beings, by the way, which is another discussion.
Mm-hmm.
This is a federation of human beings that are looking out for, like, we're like not even 2% of our genetics is less than 2% of what. By the way, bouncing around over here like a banana in a monkey grove.
Why not?
Bass ackwards. This is a fact. Anyone could look this up, by the way. Genetically, in the mitochondria, like we were saying earlier, there's information that goes back, you know, all the way, you know,
right,
as far as you want to look. Do you know that monkey genetics and pig genetics come after human genetics? So that blows away completely that we came from monkeys. Now, I've been to certain universities and courts and doctors. I could tell you they definitely came from monkeys, but that's a different story. So,
well, there is an interesting divergence there where it does seem as though there's maybe a heavier influence from one species over another among, you know, I don't know. It gets a little confusing, but it does seem like maybe we're not all actually as you. I mean, we're universally, we're interchangeable a bit.
We're extremely old, extremely old. It's okay. You know what we're more like? Do you remember, okay, you got vinyl 33s, you got 45s, remember the little singles, and then before that you had the 78s. You remember the 78s?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay, I got some 78s, they're very thick. Anyway, I pulled one out, and I put it on a turntable, and I downloaded it digitally into a file.
Uh-huh.
So I went from like a 1923 record to having it on a digital file. Think about the jump, because it went from 78 to 45 to 33 to 40, right?
Right.
So, you know, and then magnetic tape to DVD, CD, and now I'm going from 78 right to computer file. Holy crap, what a quote-unquote quantum leap, right?
Mm.
That's how we are right now. We are that version. We are almost like a digital representation of what humans are. Why do you think we only live to 60 or 70 years? You're not 80, 90. You're not supposed to do anything.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about those digital representations? Is that they are, as sophisticated as it is, it lacks a whole bunch of things. A whole bunch of stuff has been removed.
Humans.
Well, see, but that's where I was going here, is that, you know, it's de-evolution as opposed to evolution, it seems like, because even though these things are light years faster and they can move quicker and you can communicate them, you can send them around the world in seconds, right? You couldn't send a 78 around the world. Yeah.
Well, you could, but you're experiencing evolution. Let's say you worked, with telephones all day, a salesman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your finger gets sore. That's why they stick a pencil to dial, or the old dial phones, right? Even
right,
touch tones. Now you don't do that anymore. You have a mouse. You have a different type of soreness, so your body's going to evolve different. Then what is it called? Carpal tunnel syndrome, the typists
right,
had? That didn't exist 75, 80 years ago,
no,
right? Well, maybe a tailor would have it, sewing buttons all day or something.
That makes sense,
so,
yeah.
There is evolution, you know, like, in other words, cheap shoes give people bad feet. I'm serious.
No,
right?
I get
bad
it.
Bad shoes.
Yeah.
So that's a form of evolution. So there is evolution that way. In other words, biological influence change on a biology of something. But essentially, okay, here, let me just drop another thing. Do you know that most of the people on this planet, two-thirds, are synthetic humans? They're not real humans as humans are defined. What I mean by that, at conception, it's funny how many people don't know this. You could look it up. At conception, when the sperm meets the egg, there's a flash of light when the union, when the conception begins. It's a very brief flash of light. It's in the millisecond, you know. But it's within the frame rate. If you have a microscope, you can see it. It'll be a little white, yellow, bluish flash. That's a download. That is a ethereal download that determines whether the person's going to carry genetics that are real or whatever. Now, when you manipulate that flash, right, just like if you're downloading something and the internet gets a hiccup, you know, the download is bad, right? You got to do it over, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so there's a little download that happens at the moment the sperm and the egg meet, and this has been learned in how to be interrupted. And when that's interrupted in an individual, it's recorded on the mitochondria, and they're not a real human cosmically. You know, if you hit them across the head with a baseball bat, they'll cry. If you don't feed them, they'll get hungry. They sound the same way, but cosmically, from a spiritual point of view, they're considered a synthetic. Hmm. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. This could have happened to your parents. It's not hereditary, the synthetic formation. It has to be, at the moment of conception, it has to be manipulated. So let's say both of your parents became synthetics because they were manipulated. They can have a real baby. In other words, you weren't. They didn't mess with that point when you were conceived. You could be real. But in your genetics, in your mitochondria, it will show that your parents were messed with.
Okay.
So the people that, you know, the normies, the mask wearers, the people that have to, you know, oh, I got to do what they say, those are the synthetics. And they've been, this process started very recently in the 70s and 80s, experimented on very heavily. They always block this kind of high-level technology by telling you, oh, they did chemical, MK Ultra, they did this. They always try to keep it on the chemical. The more chemical stuff they try to tell you, that means that they're actually messing with you on a higher electrical frequency level more and more. Right, well, just like nuclear devices.
Okay, so now I've got a personal question, because I have been hearing people over the past few years, especially, talk about the non-player characters because they're relating it to a video game.
NPCs. And yeah, but that's a valid. That's another way of disclosing what's going on, right? Look, what's the difference between a normie and a conspiracy theorist is 2.5 years, right? Because anybody who's called a conspiracy theorist, which you know the origin of it,
yeah, of course,
they're always right, but it doesn't matter, because to these people, that's why it's so easy to wipe out. It says 1/3 of the population will be wiped out. Okay, well, you could conceivably do that and not kill any real humans, by the way. So when you're walking around on the street, right, and you see people that have that blank stare, because they say the windows are the eye to the body. You know, they say the windows are the eye to the soul. It doesn't say that. It's to the body. Do you know when you look into someone's eye, you actually see the optic nerve goes directly to the brain?
Yeah.
It's part of the brain.
Yeah, of course it is.
So when you look inside someone's eye, actually, this was shown a lot in the early movies, you can stimulate them to be happy or sexually aroused, depressed, but just by looking into their eye, if you know how to manipulate that. It's an old, the mesmerized hypnotic stuff, right?
Yeah, today people talk about neuro-linguistic programming. It's all based on this very same principle that if you, and that is also because the eye literally does project a little bit of light, whether people know that or not.
The ear projects sound.
And if you learn how to control it, you can project what you like, obviously, and you can cause an influence by interaction directly with that person's brain through the window of the eye. And it's so funny because you try and explain this.
Yeah, the synthetics are very susceptible to that, and they cannot project.
Oh, they can't.
Now, here's the scary part. You can have a woman. Mm-hmm. You can have a woman that you conceive a child with, and you both could be real, and the child could be a synthetic if it's messed with at conception.
Hmm. Well, obviously,
in other words, it has to be done fresh every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. There are satellites to do it. There's ground tech to do it. There are no secrets, by the way. There are no secrets anymore.
Well, I've had people explain to me that, and I don't know if this sounds right to you, but the fact that we're constantly bathing in these electromagnetic frequencies, that is actually part of the purpose, is to disrupt this this very unique thing that does occur at the moment of conception. Incidentally, it has rendered a great many more people to be without it. And that, sensibly, I'm thinking to myself, an electromagnetic frequency, which is pulsed at something at the proper speed, can disrupt light.
Sure, but so, it's not the electromagnetic, believe it or not, we're okay with it. It does heat up the water in the cells. This is not a play on words. It's a magnetodielectric, meaning it's more on the ether side, like what Tesla talked about, instantaneous communication, right, versus the time delay. We're having a Skype call. I've had Skype calls all over the world. There's no delay. How is that? You see, they're using this tech right here under your noses all the time. It's impossible based on any physics that we don't have a time delay, but we don't. So that they teach you. By the way, the you can't break the laws of physics and all this other stuff. That's the same thing that the Catholic Church did in the 1500s, right? So it's a religion. But here's the other thing. I want to harken, bounce around a little bit here. I want to harken back to the good old Vinnie Eastwood days. Back in 2011, he interviewed a guy called Donald Marshall, who basically talked about the cloning centers underground and REM, which is rapid eye movement. consciousness transfer. When you're asleep, they're able to take your consciousness and put it in a clone. Now, here's the thing. I revisited this because it's very important. About 5 years ago, I was sending people articles. It's not online anymore. Mm-hmm. That they did it. Remember all these archaeological digs in Egypt, I don't know, four, 5, 6 years ago? Actually less than that. It was 2018 or so. Yeah, anyway. And this one article comes out. It was a scientific one. It wasn't on the mainstream. And it says that they dug up a mummy and it was a clone. And I sent it to people and I said, oh, they're going to clone mummies? I said, no. Read it. The mummy that they dug up is a clone. In other words, the Egyptians had cloning technology. And it went over everyone's head. Like, how could that be, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Very, very simple. Here's another example. There's a short news clip, you could still look it up, where they grow a second skin for burn victims. They take some skin cells from you and they grow a skin, you know, in a lab, and then they go put it on the patient, right?
Yeah.
So the news people walk in there. It was a new company and they were, you know, they went from being nothing to millions and millions. So the first 3 seconds, it shows this table. It's very crude how you make cells divide and clone. It's very crude. He's got a table that wobbles. Imagine it's just like a wobbling table, mm-hmm. and it's moving with a motor, and he's got all these glass flasks on it, and the liquid is wobbling and wobbling. So he goes up to one of them, and he takes the skin out of the wobbling table, and he puts it on a cutting board, and he scrapes off a layer, and he holds it up. This is what we need. This is how they do it. It's very simple. So if you agitate a tissue very, very at a certain rate with certain water, it will multiply. This is so easy. You can literally do it in your kitchen, just like we talked about. You can grow gold in your kitchen, right?
Oh yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So, yeah. So the Egyptians had this, you know. Now the pyramids have nothing to do with this because the pyramids were built by others. Because the time that they tell you the pyramids were built, they didn't even have toilets, right? So if I said let's build some pyramids and these people here are crying about we should build the toilets first, we're going to build the pyramids first, right? No, sorry, they were very primitive. Mm-hmm. But the people that were there, still amongst them, just like Atlantis, for example, you know, Atlantis has shuttles to Venus and Mars, you know, back and forth. And the northern part of Atlantis are the people that are in Ireland right now. They sunk, the continent was sunk. And the southern part were the blue people, like in Krishna, you know, the blue people. Very simple. And things got out of hand very quickly there, well, over thousands of years. But the advancement, this concept of cloning, whatever they tell you they're banning, you know, there's a lot of laws, we ban cloning, is what they're heavily into, right? Like, for example, they have the DEA and banning drugs in the Western world. Well, that means they're heavily into it because that's what the drug money is what lubricates the banking system,
right?
Without the drug money, the wheels will get rusty and stop, right? Not mortgages, whatever, it's the drug money.
So you wouldn't entirely discount Zacharias.
Is what they're doing. Right.
So you wouldn't entirely discount Zacharias Sitchin is what you're telling me.
He's very light. He's like a lot of the stuff that I talk about introductory. It's much more like what he calls the Anunnaki are hybrids of the Elohim.
You're right. No, I understand that. But when he gets into the narrative that is left behind by Thoth, it's him and somebody else if you put them together.
Right. Which are very old humans again.
Yeah.
And they... Basically, the laws that you see in the Bible that seem restrictive are to prevent you from having sex with animals and male on male and female with female all the time and all that. Because, look, there are worlds out there where they did have the homosexuality. They eliminated all the heterosexuals and they reproduced by cloning. Mm-hmm. If you're heterosexual, it's a death penalty, right?
Mm.
And other places. But so they didn't want that here. So they have these very strict laws to prevent you from mating with animals. So when you go back, you know, all the history they tell you is false, but all the mythology is true. Like when you see half animal, half horse, the center, you know, half animal, this is possible because our genetics are very malleable and pliable. That's why, for example, when you read in the Bible, when they were told to go in and kill all the animals also and the people, it's because they were having sex with the animals.
Hmm.
You don't want to have, you know, because sheep could bear, you know, anyway, and cows, you know, they have sheep with human faces on, you could see that, you know. So humans are pretty monstrous. And what I mean by that is like Lord of the Flies. You know, remember the book Lord of the Flies? Young children get shipwrecked and they end up killing the fat boy in like 2 weeks, right, for no reason.
Yeah.
How many times have we said you're on a violent planet? If you woke up this morning with your liver in your body, be thankful, because in the middle of the night, someone will crawl in through the window and want to cut your body open, and you'll say, why are you doing it? It's because I can, because I feel like it, right? That's what predators do. So we're in a very self-induced mania of violence, and that has to be, you know, well, it has to be under control. And but at this point, it's going to let go. They're going to. That's what I'm saying. Your prayers are not. Don't. They've been. If you think you're getting answers in your prayers, it's been predetermined before you've even prayed already. It's already done. Everything's in the credits, right? And when you're watching the credits of the movie, you don't expect a new scene to come up. Sometimes they do that for shicks and giggles or whatever. But just to harken back to the cloning thing, that is so advanced right now. I'll give you an example. If you look at these politicians, presidents, prime ministers or whatever, you look around, you ever see how their motorcades is like minimal security? Like a half drunk retired special forces guy and his buddies could take over any motorcade. It's like minimal security,
right,
and kidnap any important person. Well, this has been done before, and let's say they get the guy, the prime minister or the president, in the room. They're ready to call for the ransom money, and the president or prime minister explodes. Boom! Everybody's killed in the room. Mm-hmm. Well, and then an hour later, the same prime minister or president is doing a talk because it's not, you know, it's another copy. Let's say, so word gets around. Don't bother kidnapping these, you know, high-profile actors or high-profile people because they're not really real. They have a bomb in their head, and it's just like bank robberies went down when they started putting the dye packs in the cash. So you leave the cash, you get a mile away, and then boom, the dye pack blows up. How good is that, right?
Right. You just wasted all your effort to get a load of paper filled with blue dye. Yeah.
So it's impossible to take hostages, and it's no reason to assassinate anyone anymore because they're already not real. So this is so advanced. Just like, for example, when you tell people about nuclear technology or all this, they still think like 1940s stuff, right? Well, it's all held by DOE, Department of the two groups that control that technology is the DOE, Department of Energy, and the Secret Service. It's a department in the Secret Service called the Office of Special Transportation. I love it how they hide things between the, from obscure names, right? So, anyway, the problem is you have two different societies. You've got the surface and dwelling earth inhabitants, which are basically equal to almost herd animals at this point, right? But not. But almost equal in many ways, the way they act, the way they think, and all that stuff. Not much more evolved than... evolved meaning educated or cultured or their personal character. And then you have another society that is not sharing, that is incorporating a lot of the things that I've discussed in the past 5 minutes.
Right. Okay, so I have actually one more. We've gone a little bit over time here, but I'm sure you're okay with that for the moment. So you are, right? Just double checking.
I lost you there. I've been getting a lot of hiccups, like every few minutes. I'll lose you for 5 seconds. Go ahead and repeat that.
I'm sorry. I was saying we're actually a little over time right now, but...
We're done. Yeah. We're done. Thanks for hooking up on doing a little bit of a recap. I think we put in a couple extra things there. Keep people thinking.
Definitely did. Okay. We'll leave it at that, everybody. So slightly extended podcast tonight and a couple of little hiccups here and there back and forth between me and the Greek. Communicating, for some odd reason... bunch of things in here. Yes, a recap for sure. But touched
on it. There'll be a treat for some and an irritation for most.
I need to get a T-shirt that says that. Just says that. A treat.
A treat for some and irritation for most.
Treat for some and irritation for most. I love it.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
There you go. Okay, everybody. The Greek.
Support Chuck O'Chili at chili.com.
There's no money in it, so...
Yeah, that's the
problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because... the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.